Good evening, campus and community members, alumni, distinguished guests, and friends. Welcome to Western Michigan University and to the campus that was Charles Warfield's home for an undergraduate, graduate as a graduate student, and as a faculty member. This was Chuck's home for nearly 60 years. And tonight's program is a celebration of that life he shared with us for all those years. And while we gather with sadness for his absence, the word celebration is exactly the right one to use. I know he would have loved seeing you all here in his familiar surroundings this evening. If there was one thing Charles Warfield loved, it was bringing people together, all people together. And as I look out at this gathering, it is a testament to the power of Charles Warfield to do just that. My own introduction and first few meetings with Charles 9 years ago left me convinced that Chuck was just about the most gracious civic leader one could envision. He always kept an eye out for me. As I was getting known to the community and getting to know the community, making sure I was comfortable, informed, and meeting people across the spectrum. Early on, he made sure I had the opportunity to sit down and talk with the leadership of the NAACP, an opportunity I was grateful to have then and that I relish today. Charles Warfield, Chuck, also had a very nice sense of humor. Yeah. He earned his doctoral degree at the University of Oregon, which meant he was a duck, the Oregon Ducks. And Chuck knew that I had spent 20 years at Oregon State University, which meant I'm a beaver, the Oregon State University Beavers. And given that the Ducks and the Beavers are arch rivals, we used to poke one another about the rivalry. Long story short, guess what appeared in the president's pool last Sunday? I looked out my window, and there's a duck in the pool. Very calm, he had a good time. And I laughed, and I thought, yep, Chuck, you have and will continue to send signs and signals that will allow all of us to remember you and your positive impact on our lives. WMU, and we're very proud of this, played a critical part in Charles Warfield's life. He was part of a remarkable group of young men who met on our campus and went on to accomplish great, great things. And you'll hear more about that part of his life from speakers who know the stories far better than I. But I can assure you, at every step along the remarkable Warfield career path, the friendships and connections that he began as a young man on this campus stayed with him and were reflected in his every decision. Charles Warfield was a campus treasure who enjoyed a lifetime partnership with someone who was another campus treasure and lifelong Bronco. And you know who I'm talking about. I'm talking about Dr. Martha Warfield. Martha, thank you for reaching out to us all, allowing us to share with you and your family how just important a part of this community Chuck was. He was a part of our family and our family will always regard him with honor and tremendous affection. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Well, let the church say amen. Amen. Well, amen anyhow. It is such a pleasure to be here to my family, the Warfields. I have pictures of us dating back to when I had hair. Chuck had a big fro, which I thought was always so wonderful. But my greetings to you, and this is just such a wonderful, wonderful event. A few days ago, when I thought about Chuck again, I remembered something that he said to me, and it was a phrase that we continued to say back and forth, and that was that we just wanted to come down on the right side of history. You know, when we were in 1978 and Chuck and I both went to Chicago and working with Reverend Jackson, we were sitting at Operation Push, and we were just talking about that, about how all the great people that we knew in life seemed to make the right decisions to come down on the right side of history. And that was one of the things that we thought was so important. So over the years, we talked about how we analyze that. How do you come down on the right side of history? How do you do with that when someone looks back at your life? They say, no, he did that absolutely the right way. Chuck said there were two things that he thought were important. One, he thought you had to have a commitment to a vision. And any of you who knew Chuck knew that when Chuck got committed, he got committed. You know that when he got committed, he not only committed himself, but he also committed you. He started talking about, well, I think you can do this, and I think you can do this, and if you can meet me, that was simply Chuck's way. But the commitment that Chuck understood was one that was born out of a legacy of work from his family, through the church, through the community. He had this legacy of not knowing how to do anything else but see the correct vision and to go after that. He had this undeniable hope. I told Chuck, I said, you know, Chuck, I'm getting ready to get married. He said, man, you ought to go do that. Now, I wasn't sure, but Chuck convinced me that it was the only way to live life. And so I said, okay, I'll do that. When I got ready to get a doctorate, I said, Chuck, you know, you're the only person I know who went to college and got out. So what should I do? So Chuck gave me the advice. He said, man, you can do this. He said, just look at it, commit to it, go ahead and do it. The blessing was that, like most of you who are here, Chuck mentored us through his vision. He committed us through his commitment. And through all of that, he allowed us to achieve what we've achieved in our lives. The second thing about Chuck was the work ethic. You know, Chuck was always moving about 2 miles an hour. And it always seemed as though he wasn't going real fast, but he made you go real fast because he convinced you that the work to be done was only work that you could do. But those were the two things that I remember so much about our relationship: the commitment to his vision and the work ethic. There's a story that Chuck and I share, and I want to share this with you. This is kind of the religious part coming out here. Hold on. But you can, and it comes out of the book of Joshua. There's a great sermon that I first heard probably 30 years ago. I have now taken it as my sermon, so if you ever hear me preach it, it's mine, not his. But it's called Coming Through the Jordan, Standing Up, and it really talks about Joshua. And it talks about Joshua getting to his own Jordan. He had seen the Red Sea that Moses had come to. He had traversed all his way through the desert for 40 years. He knew of all the travails. But when you're by yourself and you have let the older ones pass, sometimes you have to come to your own Jordan. The Bible says that Joshua came to the Jordan and was unsure of what to do, but then he got the message from on high. Now, the beauty of the story is not so much that he had the history, But the beauty of it is that when he got to the Jordan, he knew exactly what he had to do. The good book said that he had to hold up the ark, which was the truth. And the good book says that when the elders put their feet into the water, that the water separated. Chuck would always come back and you said, you know what they did? I said, what, Chuck? He said, they came through the Jordan standing up. I would like to believe that when we think about Chuck today, Chuck met a Jordan. He met Jordans all of his life. He met places that he did not think he belonged, but the more that he walked and the more that he believed, the more he was able to gain access to those. The more that he worked and worked with us, the more access that we had. And so we've all come to our Jordans. And as we walked with Chuck and believed what he had to say to us, we all came through standing up. So let me give you this one piece of solace today. All of you who are here today are testament to the fact that when Chuck met his other Jordan and his body began to fail him in ways that he never knew it could fail him, that he took the next step and the Jordan parted and he is standing up on the other side of Jordan doing what? Standing up.
Good evening. I met Dr. Warfield just a few weeks after my family and I had come to town. We made plans to have lunch, and I gave him my card. He looked at it, looked at me, and said, "Superintendent, give me the real numbers." I laughed and wrote down my cell number. We talked several times a week for years, sometimes long, often short. We'd go to lunch, usually quick, almost always buffet. He would sometimes pop into my office unannounced. I imagine some of you got unannounced visits as well. I'd come out of my office, and before I could say anything, he'd say, "Superintendent, don't start." Or, "Superintendent, you're not right." Or, "Superintendent, you need to stop drinking that Mad Dog." One day, I had to look that up. One day, he came in with these beautiful, enormous, once-living gloves that I believe Pastor Felton had given him. He loved those gloves. But you know, I'm a pacifist vegetarian, and he was wearing Bambi or some other animal on his hands. So off I go, and I finish, and he looks at B. Cunningham, my executive assistant, and he says, "Sister Cunningham, do you go to church on Sundays?" "Yes." "Pray for the brother." A few times he said to me, "Superintendent, if you don't stop, I'm going to have to get some of my wino buddies after you." I looked at him once and said, "Dr. Warfield, you're not the only person who has wino buddies." And he looked me up and down and just laughed. One day he says, "Superintendent, you look all right from the neck to the ankles." I said, "Dr. Warfield, what do you mean by that?" "I like that suit and shirt and tie. We need to do something with your shoes and hat." I said, "Well, it's the winter. I wear boots and I don't wear a hat. Well, we need to get you a hat." A couple of weeks later, I show up with a hat at lunch with him and a few others. He says, "Superintendent, we need to get you a hat." I said, "Dr. Warfield, this hat was given to me by a dying guidance counselor in my old district." I told him the whole story about the hat. And he listened, and he listened, and he listened. And finally he said, "Well, Superintendent, I'm just saying, we need to get you a hat." I loved his sense of humor and our banter. The fact is, he didn't share his humor with everyone. He was a fierce guy, and I respected and appreciated his fierceness as much as I respected and enjoyed his sense of humor. One day he said, so I'm in this meeting and this person says to me, Dr. Warfield, you seem angry. He said, Superintendent, I told her I have a right to be angry. But unlike many with the same right to be angry, he not only expressed his anger, he worked to create a better world. He lived the NOAA principle. No prizes for predicting rain, prizes only for building arcs. And build he did down to the last week of his life. Dylan Thomas once said, do not go gentle into that good night. Rage, rage against the dying of the light. And that is very much what Dr. Charles Warfield did. When the Kellogg Foundation expressed an interest in literacy and in Kalamazoo, Dr. Warfield helped open the doors to an important partnership and the initial funding for Lift Up Through Literacy, our KPS parent education and family literacy programs throughout Kalamazoo. These programs have served more than 2,000 families in the last 5 years. Dr. Warfield co-chaired the Citizens Boundary Committee in 2009 that recommended and got approved critical boundary changes balancing middle and high schools by socioeconomic status. He campaigned for bond millages in 2010 and 2013 to help us address our aging buildings. He served as a co-chair of Citizens for KPS just this last year to help pass a countywide special education millage increase. I appreciate so much that Dr. Martha and Dr. Charles shared one another with us in the district. And then there was mentoring. Dr. Warfield had spent decades mentoring people, often young men of color. He was strongly supportive of the mentoring initiative that we had set up for our young men, predominantly of color, in our schools this year. 141 male staff members have mentored 628 young men in 2,800 meetings this year. Dr. Warfield, Dr. Warfield had plans to take a group of men in the community to visit Reverend Jackson in Chicago to inspire them to become community mentors for our young men. We still need to make that happen. When the wise man or wise woman dies in a community, you don't replace the wise man or wise woman. There is no replacement. It is up to each of us in the community to step up and collectively make up for the loss of wisdom. ...2,400 years ago, it was Lao Tzu and Tao Te Ching who wrote, to die but not be forgotten, that's true long life. By that measure, Dr. Charles Warfield will continue to live on in us and in our deeds for many years. And finally, it was Cornel West, the well-known African-American scholar, who once concluded a speech by saying, call me, email me, let me know how I can help you in your worlds. Because like Ella the Duke and Muhammad Ali, I'm going down swinging. Like the fierce social justice warrior that he was, so too did my friend and yours. Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Yvonne White. I have the distinct honor of serving as the member of the National Board of Directors for the NAACP and also as the state president. Dr. Warfield, as you know, was president of the Kalamazoo branch of the NAACP. Many of you have spoken very kindly about his humor and his goodwill in the community. We knew Dr. Warfield as a fearless freedom fighter. And so whenever we sat down to speak when we had the opportunity, it was always about his community, our community. And so one thing that I do know that Dr. Warfield loved a number of things. We know he loved his wife, Dr. Martha Warfield. He made no mistake about that. Everywhere he went, and his family. We also knew he loved the Kalamazoo community. But Dr. Warfield also loved the NAACP. So it is with a very heavy heart that I stand before you today. And I know that there may be some other NAACP leaders from around the state. If you're present, if you would kindly stand with me as we present a resolution. It is with great sorrow that the NAACP acknowledges the passing of our beloved leader and colleague, Dr. Charles C. Warfield, President of the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People, Metropolitan Kalamazoo Branch, since 2009. While Dr. Warfield's passing is a loss for us all, his legacy remains as a fearless and devoted champion of social justice, defending the freedom of all persons, regardless of age, race, gender, views, or economic situation. Our hearts and prayers go out to his family and friends during this very difficult time. May God continue to provide you with the strength to carry on his great work. And so, therefore, the following resolution is being offered in honor of the life and legacy of our brother, dear friend and NAACP freedom fighter, Dr. Charles C. Warfield. Whereas Dr. Warfield is a life member of the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People, and whereas Dr. Warfield was a committed member of the Kalamazoo community, both culturally and politically, and in 2009 became president of the Metropolitan Kalamazoo branch of the NAACP, taking the reins of the association during its 100th anniversary celebration, and under his leadership, the organization realized an increase in membership sponsors and community partnerships. And whereas Dr. Warfield also served as state education chairperson for the Michigan State Conference for the past 6 years, representing the NAACP and addressing educational policies and issues at both the state and national levels. And whereas, in addition to his work with the NAACP, Charles Warfield was a strong and powerful civil rights leader in the Kalamazoo community and will be best remembered for his staunch advocacy of issues affecting equity in education, human and civil rights for all people, playing an integral role as the voice for the people within the Kalamazoo Public Schools to help facilitate the transition of students and teachers during the court-ordered desegregation era, dedicating his entire life to his community. And whereas Warfield's unprecedented leadership as the Director of School Community Relations led to his subsequent national work as the chairman at the National Task Force on Educational Renewal, Office of Education in Washington, D.C., as well as Chief of Staff and Director of Program Operations for Operation PUSH and PUSH Excel, respectively, in Chicago, Illinois. He was first appointed to the faculty of Western Michigan University in 1972 and worked in various capacities for over 41 years, retiring in 2013 as Associate Professor Emeritus in Educational Leadership. Dr. Warfield continued to make a significant impact on students all across the country and throughout the world. And whereas Dr. Charles Warfield declared that the civil rights movement is not dead, and if anyone thinks that we're going to stop agitating, then they had better think again. It was for this reason that we had selected Dr. Warfield to receive the 2016 NAACP President of the Year Award, which was supposed to be presented during our 80th convention. That's right, he deserved every bit of it. So we are proud to present that award to the family on September the 10th in Detroit. And we'll forward the information later to make sure. But my heart was so saddened because we had made so many plans to surprise him. But he surprised us, little did we know. Therefore, be it resolved that the leadership of the Michigan State Conference, NAACP, extends their deepest and heartfelt condolences to the family and friends of our brother Charles C. Warfield, educator, community leader, and president of the Kalamazoo branch, NAACP. He will truly be missed throughout the entire civil and human rights community. Dr. Warfield's leadership, hard work, commitment, and dedication to improving the quality of life for all Americans will never be forgotten. For he has carried that bloodstained banner. He has bailed the cats of social injustices. He has fought the good fight. And now the trumpets have sounded and God has called him home. We thank Dr. Warfield for all that he has done, and God bless him for a job well done. Yeah. Finally, be it further resolved that the original copy of this resolution be presented to Dr. Warfield's beloved and devoted wife, Dr. Martha Warfield, and family, a copy presented to the Metropolitan Kalamazoo branch of the NAACP, a copy submitted to our National Board of Directors for submission and adoption, and a copy placed in the permanent records of the Michigan State Conference, NAACP. God bless you, family. God bless you, Kalamazoo. Keep up the good work. Don't let the Warfield legacy die. Stand up for justice, continue the good fight, and never forget the name of Dr. Charles C. Warfield. God bless you.
Good evening. Dr. Martha Warfield and the Warfield family, and to each of you, my brothers and sisters, Dr. Warfield was a preacher pastor. And inasmuch as he was, I think we ought to at least make it a little more churchy in here. Just join with me and sing a verse of Amazing Grace, if you will. Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now was blind, but now I see. Let us say amen. St. John chapter 1, verses 43 through 46. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee, and findeth Philip, and saith unto him, Follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, We have found him, of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, Come and see. Let us at least enter the subject of this homily into the record. Which is greater, origin or destiny? Thanks be to God that we have come together this day to pay tribute to one of Kalamazoo's greatest ambassadors, Dr. Charles C. Warfield. Let's give God a hand clap of praise. We are thankful to God that the quality of life in this great city has been tremendously enhanced for all generations to come because God loved us enough to invest a man of the caliber of Dr. Charles Warfield in this city and blessed him to forge such a strong partnership with Dr. Martha Warfield and their family to work together to lift up humanity in Kalamazoo and throughout this region and vicinity. Thanks be to God that when the Lord places purpose in an individual's life, there is nothing that the enemy has in his arsenal that can destroy it. Even when bad things happen to good people, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and are the called according to his purpose. This moment is a very passionate one for me. Inasmuch as 1 year ago this month, I eulogized Dr. Elson Floyd, the first black president of Western Michigan University in Henderson, North Carolina. Dr. Warfield was very instrumental in bringing Dr. Floyd to this campus, this community of Kalamazoo, because of the investment of educators who have people at heart, who have souls at heart, makes the city of Kalamazoo unique in the United States and the world, inasmuch as we are the only city which has the Kalamazoo promise. There are other wealthy communities in this country, but not one of them has what we have, an investment in people that every graduate from a Kalamazoo public school with at least a 2.0 average can go to college anywhere in the state of Michigan. Kalamazoo is some city. So when we hear these cynical words of Nathanael that is putting out the fire that is in the heart of Philip about his faith in the Messiah, Jesus Christ, Nathanael questions the origins of Jesus much more than he seeks to highlight the destiny of Jesus. There are some people who live life in reverse. They spend much more time looking back than they do going forward. To some people, it is more interesting to them where you came from than where you're going to. That is why when Philip comes with all of this characteristic zeal of a new convert about having found Jesus, Nathanael really wants to stop him in his tracks because the city of Nazareth is not a city of note in Jewish history. In the development of our Judeo-Christian heritage, we notice that Nazareth is barely mentioned at all. But it was God's will that Jesus would experience obscurity before he experienced popularity. In order for Jesus to come forth publicly to proclaim his ministry at the age of 30, he needed some years in the wilderness. He needed to experience rejection firsthand, which enables him to say that a prophet is without honor in his own house and in his own country. But if you got it, you just got it. Doesn't matter if you come from small beginnings or if you come from people with narrow minds. If you got it, you just got it. Why don't you express some faith in the person next to you? Shake their hand and tell them, I believe you got it. One thing about Dr. Charles Warfield, he believed in people. And if you believe in people, you have to believe in God, because God is omnipresent. God is not someone that is tucked neatly behind the doors of eternity, but he dwells within each one of us. God not only lives in every believer or churchgoer, he even has the nerve to live in atheists. God wakes up atheists every morning, rocks them to sleep at night. And whenever God wants an atheist to call his name, he just sends the right pain. And even the atheist says, oh, God. Thanks be to God that the Lord raised up Charles Warfield from the wrong side of the track in Kalamazoo, Michigan. The Lord raised him up from a family that knew what struggle was, a family that ministered at the historic Second Missionary Baptist Church. His father, a pastor, his brother, a pastor. He could not escape the call of God upon his life. To Dr. Warfield, being a black man was a 24-hour-a-day, 7-day-a-week job. It was his mission to sharpen the skills, the minds of other black men, and help them to realize survival will be granted to you if you keep your faith in God. America was never designed to accommodate black men, only to tolerate us. Even our Constitution barely recognizes the fact that we are 3/5 human. But I'm glad that God had the nerve to add the other 2/5. You know, the Lord began to put our relationship together with the Warfields when my wife and I served the House of Prayer Community Church in Cassopolis, Michigan. Cassopolis is where Dennis Archer is from. Cassopolis is just 7 miles from Dowagiac, where Dr. Martha Warfield is from. Something about sinking roots into a small community, something about coming from obscure beginnings, help you to keep your sanity when God takes you to the top. When you are great, you realize that greatness is not predicated upon your title or position or what you have in the bank, but your commitment to serve humanity. I am thankful to God that the Apostle John is the one who records these words, because in this question, we have the ability of John to run the gamut of life from beginning to end. It is the Apostle John who writes what is chronologically the first verse in the Bible. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It is John the Apostle who writes the last words of the Bible, eschatology included in the book of Revelation. It is John the Apostle who has such keen survival skills that when he was bald and all, God somehow preserved his life and made him better and not bitter. Whatever happened to Charles Warfield, he didn't get bitter. He always got better. The stages of advancement in life are good, better, and best. One should never rest until one's good becomes better and one's better becomes best. We miss him, but the fact of the matter is now Dr. Warfield is at his best. Now he has
his best body. Now he has his best form. Now he has his best health. He'll never be sick again. He'll never experience pain again, because God has ordained that we will transition from corruptible to incorruptible, from mortal to immortality. Isn't it something that this preacher went home on a Sunday? Whenever a preacher goes home on a Sunday, it reminds me of the fact that John said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard a voice saying, I am he that was dead, but I'm alive forevermore. I'm the Alpha, I'm the Omega, I'm the first, I'm the last, I'm the beginning, I'm the end. And when Jesus reintroduced himself to John, he couldn't take it, for he fell prostrate at his feet. But Jesus is a resurrector. It doesn't matter if you've hit rock bottom, if you've experienced failure, Jesus has the keys of bringing you back from disaster. And he does it so well that you don't even look like what you've been through. Why don't you help me give God some praise? I thank God that he loved us enough to invest in us a man who every step led him towards destiny. And if anyone questions what is greater, origin or destiny, it doesn't matter where you come from. What really matters is, are you going anywhere? I'm on my way to the land that God promised us. And because I'm on my way, I'm too busy to look back, because I'm forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I'm on my way up. I'm going to hold my head up. I'm not going to let nothing and nobody turn me around. Come on, shake hands with somebody and tell them your destiny is worth it all. Let's give God some praise today. God bless the legacy of Dr. Charles C. Warfield.